91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. We are back this week with Listener Submitted Month, and this week we are talking about Pieces from 1982. We are also joined by our good friend Kyle, who's been on multiple episodes. Kyle, say hi, everybody.
This is the second most beautiful thing that I've ever been a part of, the first being smoking pot and fucking on a waterbed at the same time.
Oh, damn it. Oh,
my only fuck note. All you guys, I'm gone.
Thanks for listening to Horror Movie Night.
Yeah, so let's consult the email that we got from Jack. It says, from the man who gave you Wrong Turn 6. You guys,
God damn it.
You guys were spot on. I was dying laughing at how much hate that I got for that pick. It was a pleasure to win an award, even though it was the Golden Douche Award. I hope that I keep my title as the top three worst listener submitted picks. And it was also good to hear that you and Scott voted to watch it. I did feel a little bad that you actually purchased it, Matt, but I'm glad that someone took that piece of shit off of your hands at a convention. I feel better that I wasn't the only one disturbed by how that movie ever got greenlit. Backstory behind when I saw it, I did a 3-month horror-only marathon last year from September to November. My fiance, who's not a horror fan at all, said she couldn't stand it, but one boring Sunday mid-afternoon, I was watching Wrong Turn 6. Worst movie I think I've ever watched in those 3 months. I played her your episode on it, and she asked if the movie was truly that bad. I was able to remind her that she watched it with me once already. thank you for reaching out. If I come across anything else for you guys, I'll send it along. How about Pieces? That would work. It's pretty bad. It's very 80s, and it has a killer workout style montage. Can't wait to hear you guys every Friday. P.S. Your Wicker Man episode was great, too. So thanks for donating to the Patreon, Jack.
Yeah.
A nice little hint. You're like, I'm gonna drop a hint, I'm gonna reference a Patreon episode so that they feel more inclined to pick Pieces.
What a sneaky bitch.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. But let me tell you something, as far as bad movies go, this is a bad movie I want to talk about. It's not like Boogeyman 2. Like, it is you know, it's like very fun, but really is it, bad.
Is it like, fun?
Because it doesn't
it's very
make sense. It was written by cocaine. It was 100% written by cocaine. And I don't want to jump ahead, but I really have to jump ahead because it's been bothering me since I watched the movie. What the fuck was with the Bruce Lee-esque cameo?
Oh, why was that in it? So racist. It's awful.
So, and it made no sense. Was he a kid? Did I miss him?
No, that's literally all he does.
That's it.
Okay.
People love it because it's like that. I hate it.
So Brian, there is a here's the IMDb trivia on that. The producer Dick Randall was simultaneously also making kung fu films in Rome, and had a cameo written for the Bruce Lee impersonator named Bruce Lee with only one E.
Bruce Lee, even though the
scene was written into the movie, even though it makes no sense in the context of the rest of the movie, no. 54 out of 54 people found this tidbit interesting.
the curious thing about that one to me, and I watched this with my wife Carly, and she fucking loved it. It was great. Loved it in the sense that, like, we had a lot of fun watching it. Nobody loves PCs. PCs? Reese's PCs. excuse me. But, like, I loved the line where he was like, he just said he was just walking through and it was bad chop suey. He was definitely going to attack that woman. It was not just like, oh, it must have been the bad food that made me want to attack you and totally assault you in this alley. Like, it was
absurd. It is the most offensive. That dialogue is the most offensive part in fairly offensive movie. The dubbing throughout gives us some great gold. My favorite dub is, "Hey, Carla, I got to go use the John."
It's so harsh.
A woman in 1981 would probably not say that.
We kept making the joke that, like, if she kept running into people in that long at, like, the John, which was all the way down three flights of stairs or whatever.
Yeah.
Was that the only bathroom in the building? But I love that she would just, like, we kept imagining if she ran into people over and over again, she'd be like, "Oh, excuse me, I'm looking for the John." Just like, so, I'm just going to the John. I'll be back to class later. The John is just so much. It's too much.
This whole movie is too much.
I was going to say, this movie, if nothing else, has, without a doubt, I'm not even thinking that there's a competition, the most insane opening to any slasher movie I've ever seen.
Oh,
no.
Bar none.
No, you are forgetting tons of good slasher flicks.
But are they a child randomly just messing? Like, it's the moment where it cuts to the kid with the hacksaw, where I'm like, this feels like a parody. This isn't real. This isn't a real movie. What am I watching?
I don't want people that have never seen Pieces. Oh, okay. These are the two people that the two groups of people I least want to encourage with our episode on Pieces. People that are hardcore Pieces fanatics, because those people cannot be reasoned with, right? And then the people that have never seen Pieces and are somehow listening to Horror Movie Night being like, dost I rent this film? I'm a real thespian. And they're like, perhaps I should watch Pieces. I don't want anybody to think that we're endorsing this film, because it is not. There is no fucking stamp of approval from Horror Movie Night for this movie.
But it does have the Matt Kelly seal of approval because, well, I own it.
Yeah.
But, man, like, this movie, there's no. It's just like
nothing
vignettes.
Makes sense. Yeah.
It's vignettes. Like, yeah. There's that scene where it just cuts to a girl on roller skates just slipping into a sheet
of glass. No. She's on a skateboard. That's I want to say that is technically the second kill, but I can't tell if that's the same girl that gets beheaded.
It does. Yeah, it is confusing. And it is like they just introduced that glass truck, and which is the same truck as the medical examiner truck that we see later, just with different decals. Oh. Same exact truck.
I love having a real filmmaker on our show.
It's absurd. They just re-decaled the same truck because that was not an ambulance, I'll tell you that much.
This movie, in the first like 15 minutes, you have 2.5 kills depending on what happens with that girl on the skateboard. Yep. But it's like mom gets killed, just massacred. Gone. Terrible, terrible overdub of the little boy
time. The lady who decided to come visit to check on them, she's like, I know something. She's like, oh, and that's it. She's not, you just saw body parts everywhere of your so-called friend, and you're just like,
Listen, if we're going to talk about not reacting like a human being, the main kid in this movie is so optimistic for someone who has a killer on the loose and a dead girlfriend. Like, he's every time that there's a new break in the case, he's like Harry Potter walking into Hogwarts for the first time. He's just like, oh, wow. Detectiving is so fun.
And he keeps being like, so when can I join the force, pal? Yeah.
Like, he basically, like, it's like any part that doesn't have to do with a brutal, violent murder is just like a Scooby Gang.
And I feel like all the kills are easily avoidable in this film. Like,
but the one is in broad daylight.
Well, like, there's something that I really need to, you know, let anyone listening know. If your goal in life is to be a horror movie villain and you want to use a chainsaw, there's one question to figure out. Are you in a remote town in
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, then that is a practical weapon. If you are on a college campus
in Boston,
yeah, it's not the most discreet weapon, and I don't know how this guy killed so many people.
But if you just play the music over the loudspeaker every time, it's fine. Do they not have a band? Is that their band? Is that, like, Jesus Christ?
So here's, I want to get this shitty pun out of the, well, I want to get this bad pun out of the way because it is such low-hanging fruit that I can't not say it, but I also don't want anybody to think it's clever or funny that I'm saying it. I just literally have to say it because I feel crazy not to. This movie should actually be, its full title should be Pieces of Shit. Matt. Cut that.
I have one more thing I want to talk about before we dive into anything else, because we've been talking about the bad dubs. Did anyone else notice that the pager noise sounds like it's also dubbed in, like they didn't have an actual pager noise, but it's someone just going like, beep, beep. and they're like, oh, excuse me, I'm getting a page.
Alert, alert, alert. Oh, I'm sorry, that's my pager.
I'm sorry, sir, but that is actually you just saying alert.
Well, that happens sometimes. Bless you.
Let's get into it. So Willard, the guy that plays...
I'm sorry.
The groundskeeper. Groundskeeper Willard.
He is, if Texas Chainsaw Massacre wasn't phallic enough with its chainsaw use, we get Willard literally shining the chrome on his gigantic chainsaw, which seems to be either the one that is being used for the murders and then cleaned up, or the dean has the exact same one, because they only have one prop.
And they, well, I mean, this movie is red herring the film. Like, every character, and like they act like they know that they're supposed to be the red herring.
It's just really bad acting. Like, this is some of the worst acting I think that we've ever discussed.
Oh, for sure. But like, I love that Willard, who has been arrested already once for a crime that he didn't end up committing, and then they're like, we need to figure out what's going on with this music. Well, you don't have authorization. Like, Willard, you should be working really hard to clear your name right now.
Yeah, no shit. But is that, that when he gets arrested for punching cops because the girl in the pool gets massacred?
No, this is well after that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the first time he gets arrested is for that. Oh, yeah. That part, we have to talk about that. So first of all, that girl goes, she goes into the pool, and I had subtitles on because I watched this on Shudder, and I had subtitles on just because I was doing other things. Like, I was folding clothes while I was watching it. And literally the subtitle in parentheses was sexy jazz music. the soundtrack, so bad.
This is when he gets her out of the pool with the pool skimmer, which I thought was very innovative.
And then she's like, oh, she just can't move. You know, she's like paralyzed. I don't know what her deal is, but.
Well, she wanted to make love underwater. She wanted to do it underwater. You in the pool.
Yeah, I know. That is not good for your vaginal health. Campy. All right. I know. I have read the manual on your vagina. I've also been married for, 9 years. So, anyway, yes, do not chlorinate. Do not stick bleach in a vagina. Anyway, so this is the one good line from this movie. It's the best friend, who is an absolute ridiculous person. He goes up to this girl and he asks her out. Yeah. And she's like, he's like, where's the girl? And then he also is like, are you busy later? And she just looks at him. He goes, I'm slayed by your withering look. Who gives a shit? And walks away and then tells Kendall that his girlfriend is like, sent him a note. Or it doesn't even make any sense. And then, so Kendall goes to the pool, sees Willard there holding a bloody chainsaw, which, how is there another chainsaw after that to murder more girls? Doesn't matter. This movie makes no sense. But Willard immediately goes into rage mode, beats the fuck out of two cops and a detective. He also gets smashed with a 2x4 that Kendall brings out of nowhere. And Kendall's like all about it. Willard's twice his size. And then they finally, the detective, like the lieutenant, puts his gun up to his head. He's like, don't move or I'll blow your fucking brains out. And so he stops, but he looks like, all right, you copper. You know, Willard's eye.
His eye is already sort of half just, like closed. It's like always like in a sneer, like in like that weird like stink eye.
He's a perfect red herring just for like a family kids mystery yes. movie.
Oh, wow.
You
know, yeah.
Like the creepy neighbor that you think is the guy, but he's actually just an ugly guy.
Yeah, he's just
yeah. How so, bad would it suck to be the ugly guy in a movie? Like ugly guy number two.
So I want to take a second. I'm going to go through the quotes that have made it onto IMDb because I think one of the best. This movie's known for two things. One, it's got some of the most gratuitous, bonkers kills ever. The locker scene is possibly one of the most gratuitous kill scenes in a slasher movie. Just a girl running topless while being chased by someone with a chainsaw. I feel like American Psycho is intentionally making some type of reference to it. But the other thing is that because of the bad dubbing, the dialogue in this movie is so weird. And I want to read the quotes that people thought were important enough to put on IMDb. The one is, you'll be playing so much tennis, it'll be coming out your ears.
Yeah. Oh, so
wrote
dumb.
Down that one, yeah.
The other one is, while we're out here fumbling with that music, the lousy bastard was in there, killing her. Bastard.
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 Bastard. Bastard.
She was going for it. She was like,
this is my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just one more step to stardom. And I yeah. really
Well, first she
it.
Conquered tennis. Then she conquered undercover detecting. And then she conquered acting. Well, it was beautiful.
And then... the killer is someone that is either on or near the campus.
Good. That's good. Yep.
That's some deductive reasoning. Yeah. They said something like earlier at the beginning when they first talked to the dean, the lieutenant goes, we don't have any leads. We're going with a department store trying on clothes at this point. Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, that
yeah,
is
we're buying clothes without labels and trying them on for size.
Thank you. Yeah. Not a good metaphor.
Analogy.
Yeah. Analogy.
Professor Brown, you see, is a homosexual, is another one that made it onto there.
Wow. Why are those girls like messing with him so much? They're like, what about my breasts?
Yeah.
And then here's one that's really, really confusing. It says, Randy, I want you to run a complete check on the staff. Full background, in depth. If you have to, use the department's full budget. Okay, Lieutenant, I figured you'd like that. Now do your best job, pal. I don't think we have much time before the next one.
Jesus Christ.
And then the last two that they have on here is, I guess I'm just so used to bodies, dead ones, that I'm callous. And the coffee is fine. I love the cream. Well, this is New England, of course.
Yeah, that line. So by the time that we get to where you know it's the dean and he like is he's putting the body paralyzing tonic into her tea or whatever, her coffee. Yeah, you're right, it's coffee. I was so over taking notes that I don't think I took any more.
I didn't take any notes, and I'm upset because I really wanted to mention in the beginning the handlebar mustache that was taped onto the one officer.
Wait, isn't that what happens in
Sleepaway Camp? It's just electrical tape.
Yeah. Well, I guess I found my double feature.
As the Connecticut native here, we do love our cream.
I was going to ask you next. Do your cops also suck so bad that they can't find a guy hiding behind a curtain when they're searching?
Yeah, they're like, he's gone. And he's literally like, and the woman who is currently paralyzed, but she can move her eyes. She's like, she keeps being like, Kendall, you fucking idiot. Like, with her eyes, she's like, look over there, motherfucker. And
I wanted him to start singing from Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Put one foot in front of the other. He was just walking her while she was trying. It was insane. He was like babbling about, like, you'll be walking again in no time, miss. Like,
right, yeah. Well, so here's the thing also about Kendall is that fucking maybe Kendall. This movie is stupid. Fucking Kendall, right? He has sex with like three girls in this movie. I don't understand it. But also, he.
Well, he ain't having sex with anyone else after the end of this movie, am I right?
So, yeah. Well, that's the reason. That's what I wanted to bring up is that the. Jesus Christ. So, the. Man, he hangs dong. Which is, I mean, fine, I guess, but you see about as much man junk as you see boobies in this movie, which is very odd for a guy who is very obviously obsessed with killing women. And I'm not saying that this movie could be any schlockier. I don't know if it could be, but I was like, wow, that is literally Kendall's
dick. That's his dick, right there.
Yeah, and I was like pausing it, and I was like, anyone else see this dick? Let me take a screenshot of this dick for everybody. Anyway, no, I didn't actually take a screenshot. I might have to go back. Anyway, so he bangs this chick, and then he gets up, and he's like looking out the window, and he sees the tennis coach / police officer, undercover cop, right, whatever, and he's like pining for her. He just got done fucking, right? And the girl's like, come back to bed, Kendall. I swear I'll be quiet. You can put a sock in my mouth. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was fucking absurd.
Yeah, and then so then Kendall goes and the chop suey thing happens. Then he drives her on his shitty moped back to her apartment. And then he's like, wait, are you making coffee? And she's like, not this time. And she kisses him on the lips.
It's just
– this movie is like – you know the movie The Beyond where shit happens and it doesn't make any sense? It's like that.
I feel like you're just describing all Italian horror at this point.
So is this? So I always thought this movie was an Italian horror, but is it?
Yeah, that's why it's so terribly dubbed throughout.
But it's they're actually speaking in English. Like all the characters are. They're all.
A lot of times, from what I've gathered, is that like the Italians will speak English. Like they can speak English, but they have such heavy accents that they then dub them with English actors so that the mouths sort of match. Even though, yeah, so it's like they can get most of it.
It's all ADR.
Yeah, so they'll get most of it out in English on film, but then they'll dub in English with somebody who is more fluent in it and doesn't have that native accent. So that's why a lot of times it still matches, but then they have like in the middle of the sentence, it somehow is like completely off, but like the it'll bookend correctly. Very unsettling. To say the least.
It's some uncanny valley bullshit.
It's very weird.
So right after Kendall gets cock blocked by the tennis coach, his buddy comes out of nowhere and with a mask on for just a stupid jump scare. And then he goes, Casanova.
Yep.
That kid also earlier, I just want to say, because fuck that kid. But earlier he was like, when he gave him the note, he was like, he said that I'm paraphrasing here, but basically he said, if I have to give one more bit of bad news, as if he's the messenger all the time, that he'll kill himself. Oh, yeah.
Then he goes, but I'm too young to die.
He was so just overwhelmed by how much bad news he has to deliver around campus that if he had to do it one more time, he would fucking kill himself. And then he goes and pairs his friend with that mask, and it was.
I wish of everybody in this movie. I wish that kid would have gotten.
I would have loved to have seen homeboy die. It would have been great, but he doesn't look. He doesn't look anything like the killer's mom. So what are we gonna do?
Well, here's the thing about the killer. So he spends the entire movie using a chainsaw because he's going to make the perfect woman, right?
Because
that's the idea.
Because pieces.
He's trying to rebuild his mom, basically.
Yeah, which is kind of fucked up. Also, his mom is the hottest woman in this movie, and she's the meanest woman, too. She slaps the absolute shit out of that kid for real.
Yeah.
So Kyle, one of the reasons why you're on this episode is because, you know, your movie Survival the Film Freaks is now available for people to purchase and watch. So in all of the research that you did for your documentary, did you figure out why the early 1980s was obsessed with a decomposing corpse falling out of areas? Because it happens a lot.
I can't say too much about what our next project is, but we are only specifically studying that. For our next documentary.
I think you just told us everything we need to know.
Yeah. I don't have an answer for that at all.
Because it's super often. Like, there's at least, I think off the top of my head, I can think of like 5 movies that came out between like 79 and 83 that all have that like, hey, here's a decomposing body from the first kill popping.
I have no idea why that was the case, like, at all. I think it was just like,
well, who would you rather get slimed by? Your friend who was just murdered, or your friend who was murdered last week?
Yeah, yeah, true.
I'm just gonna say logically, humans don't like getting slimed with decomposing corpses.
Yeah, no.
I'll take fresh, warm blood any day.
Oh, please.
You're gonna be in the minority there. You're gonna speak up.
I am putting my foot down on this episode of Horror Movie Night. Two things we still need to talk about. One, damn foot fetishists at it again, man. Because the last thing he needed were
those feet.
Well, the problem was that the feet didn't fit the shoes of the girl that he cut in half in the bathroom.
Oh, I didn't get
that. He needed them to fit. Yeah, that's because there's that shot where the shoes aren't fully on the feet, and then he's like he's trying to like get them in there. It's like a quick like 30-second shot, and then he tries to kill the. Then it immediately cuts to the tennis person walking in the same type of shoes to imply like, oh, but her feet.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you're catching these details that no one ever cares
about.
That
detail is a great like transition point, but I've been just totally blinded by the awfulness of the rest of the movie that I didn't get to see. See wonderful details like that. It's crazy.
You know what the secret is? Reading Wikipedia while watching.
God damn.
So the last thing we all have to mention is the fact that the corpse comes back to life for no apparent reason.
Just rips through his cock.
Yeah, just feels so out of nowhere. And like, I mean, this movie's ridiculous, but it's at least grounded in some absurd logic reality.
My wife to proclaim that Pieces was her favorite zombie movie after the movie.
You know what? It might be in my top 5, honestly, because I don't like a lot of zombie movies.
Oh my god, it was very bizarre because you already had like the jump scare with the corpse falling. You know, like you did.
Yeah, why did you?
You didn't need that, which totally like it almost totally negates everything. Also, we should have known it was the Dean from the moment that he stepped out looking like a fucking vampire. Like we should have known. it was him the whole time. Like it was,
I am very strong.
Yeah, I want you to drink some coffee. I don't know. It's like a weird Bostonian Transylvanian like accent.
Oh man, his accent is the worst accent. I wonder if he's the only person that didn't get ADR'd because he's like, oh, I have the very, very, very British accent. I can't even do it because it's like so.
It was very posh, and I don't think he was dubbed, so he might have been just a British actor who was able to work and just make it
in
happen.
Italy.
Yeah,
they're like, how do we approve upon Ed's performance? Just leave it
also,
in.
It started in Boston, 1942. That house couldn't have looked like that. Like it was poorly dressed for 1942, and I was like,
Do you think that they had the money for set dressings in this film?
No, you're right. I just
fuck
you know, it's just come on.
They spent all their money on the actual blood that they used.
The blood budget must have been pretty intense.
Well, here's a Scott, if you're looking for more of a reason to not like this movie, a pig carcass was used for the close up of the chainsaw cutting through the tennis player. Most of the guts and gore are internal organs from dead animals and real blood taken from slaughterhouses and so on and so forth. So, yeah, they were really sleaze to the sleaziest of the sleaze. But yeah, that is the movie.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
So, before we dive into our double features,
hello.
Kyle, tell us about Survival of the Film Freaks.
Thank you all, first and foremost, because you guys have always been like super supportive of any of the shit I've done. And it was always a blast coming down to Monster Mania and hanging out and being able to show it. I'm glad that you guys were supportive of it. So thanks again for having me on, always. Yeah, the movie's out on Amazon Prime Video in the U.S. and the U.K. right now. It's available for rent or purchase. I don't know when it'll be just like streaming, but for right now it's rent or purchase. And then I do have Blu-rays and DVDs still available through our Indiegogo page. Basically, like once the campaign's completed, you can still sell some of those things. So right now the disc is available on the Indiegogo. It's available probably on Diabolik DVD by the time this rolls
nice.
Around. I'd love to support those guys too. They're fucking awesome. And they were cool enough to carry our flick. And yeah, it's out there into the world now, which is really, really cool. So thanks again. And I hope you all like to check it out. It's a documentary about cult cinema and how technology changes the definition of cult from the word of mouth, drive-in, grindhouse theaters, all the way up to being able to watch pieces instantly without having to and being able to get all this info online on Wikipedia and on IMDb and just somehow be able to even have a podcast about pieces is bonkers. So you know, it's we like to tackle how technology changes what cult means. So yeah, if that sounds cool to you, definitely check it out on Amazon Prime Video or grab a disc.
All right, and we will give you the first pick on the double feature.
Nah,
with
you
pieces
don't have to do that.
you
know what, I can't remember if I did have one, but I was sort of going back and forth if I was going to say this one. I don't remember if I had mentioned that I watched this movie the last time, because I watched it again twice because I had friends that I wanted to show it to, and it wasn't Pieces, watching Pieces back to back twice again. This one, Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker. I don't know if it's not very easily accessible. However, Turner Classic Movies played it and I recorded it. And Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker is not Italian. It's not really a slasher movie, but it has these elements, and it's a good movie in my opinion with very weird content. And it's a movie that I think would just work well in this sort of like one-off weirdo horror movies that either understand exactly what they're doing or just are like a little off kilter. So because Pieces is not necessarily a good movie, Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker is, just with some weird content, and in my mind, they work really well together as things that you want to watch with people. And they have a lot of like, in the way that Pieces sort of feels like vignettes, the plot points keep coming up in Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker as sort of like sections where you're like, oh, now we're going down this route. Like, why are we just switching midway through the story? So I don't know. I kept thinking about that one while watching Pieces. I don't know if it was just because I had seen it recently or if I really thought that these were just two sort of bonkers, not really talked about movies. So that is my second.
Oh, and right. Before anybody else goes, that is also known as Night Warning.
Yes.
I looked it up.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it goes under two names. I don't know. I don't think there's a Blu-ray out. It's not very easy to access, but if you can track it down, it's fucking weird. I love it.
All right, Scott, I will let you possibly take one of the ones off my list. Go.
Frankenhooker.
Nope, that wasn't one of mine. Perfect. All right. Brian, you want to go next?
Yes. So I was going to go in the fashion of this director or the guy who wrote this movie to find something that he wrote. And I came across a movie called Meat is Meat. And I just sent you guys a picture in the top right corner. It looks exactly like me when I fart and I'm trying to see if Jade is going to react.
But as an actual
double feature, I would probably go with The Burning.
Oh yeah.
All right. And I can't believe Scott didn't go for this one, but my double feature would be, you know, this is a pretty ugh movie to sit through, so something that I would have fun watching to wash the taste out of my mouth. May, another film where someone builds a body out of pieces that comes to life. Spoiler alert. All right, and finally, the what did we watch the segment? So, what's something that you watched recently that you just want to give a quick shout out to? Hey, check it out. Obviously, all of us are saying Survival of the Film Freaks is one, so let's do something other than Survival of the Film
shucks.
Freaks.
I've seen that movie once or twice. So upon doing Survival of the Film Freaks, I learned about Neil Breen, and I had never watched a Neil Breen film. He's a filmmaker out of Las Vegas who is an anomaly. None of his movies are good. However, they are really interesting to watch. I watched Double Down, which is his first movie, and Pass Through. He writes, directs, stars, does everything on his movies. And he doesn't, he sells his movies only through his website. And when you buy them for $30, which I don't think you should.
You have talked about this guy before.
You've definitely talked about this dude before.
I watched another one of his movies this week. Okay, well, I won't talk about him again. I dug into this Troma box set that I used to have, that like was one of the first introductions to Troma that I had besides like Toxic Avenger and Terra Firma. I went out and bought this thing called Blood Bank, and it has like, you know, six or seven movies in it, and I started going through that. It includes a movie called Chillers, which is an anthology movie from 87, which is not good, but there's one segment about, and it's all about these people who are at a bus stop. And they get to like share their scary tales of like how they ended up at this bus stop, but this bus stop is technically like purgatory. Spoiler. But the first segment is about a woman who like is at a pool and she like meets a swimming instructor, but that swimming instructor has been dead for 5 years, and then it comes back and all the people who have died in that pool come back to haunt her. The first vague segment's a lot of fun. I don't really remember what the other ones were because I think there might have been drinking involved. But it's a fun one, and if you ever dive into any of those Troma box sets, they're garbage. But my favorite one ever, my favorite one out of there ever is one called Horror of the Hungry Humongous Hungen. That is my favorite bad movie, my favorite worst movie of all time. I don't think anybody else will enjoy it, but that's a lot of shit that I just threw out your way. I also watched Training Day for the first time. Amazing.
Very good movie.
My friend used to have the Tox box, which was like the giant metal canister
that had a bunch of movies in it.
Yeah. Is that the one that has dead dudes in the house, which is my favorite name of a movie that Troma pushed out? There was that, and the other one was Let's Push Sally Into the Furnace.
Oh, man.
Those are actual movies.
Wow.
Vinegar Syndrome released Dead Dudes in the House, which goes by three different titles, and each side of the disc has a different title, and then the cover has a different title. So you can't alphabetize it into your collection. Sorry.
Wow, that's some OCD shit right there. Yeah.
All right, so I'll just say real quick, because I can't get too in detail with it, I saw Ready or Not, and that shit fucking ruled.
By the time this comes out, I will have seen it as well, and I'm sure I'm going to love it.
It is the last like shot of that movie, should be like every woman should be watching that movie and going, yep, that's my Halloween costume this year. Like, it
yes!
just is
oh,
such a
God.
Badass look.
Yes.
All right, Scott or Brian, go ahead.
Well, I want to go because I think Brian, well, I would hope all four of us would have seen it and can talk about it, but Glow season 3.
I haven't seen it yet. Sorry.
What the fuck?
I still haven't seen season 2.
What? Dude, I'm kicking you off your show. You love wrestling and Alison Brie. What are you doing with your life?
Watching the Jersey Shore still.
Oh. Yeah, that. There you go. Brian or Kyle, have you seen it?
I haven't even seen season 1.
I watched the first season. I really enjoyed the first season, and then it just got lost in the shuffle.
You guys suck so much,
sorry,
asshole.
But this is why we have you, Scott. Tell us about it.
To say, well, I liked it, but the funniest thing about it is that season 3 has 2 wrestling matches. It's like 13 episodes long, but there are only 2 episodes with actual wrestling. It feels really disjointed, but it's because there's so much character development going on. It's fun. It's funny. It's no Stranger Things season 3, I'll tell you that much, but it's fun.
Few can be. All right, Brian, take us home.
Haven't been watching many things, but I did have to drive to Ocala and back Thursday night, which is an 8-hour round trip. Ooh. So I listened to this podcast miniseries called The Clearing, and it is such a great podcast. Like I was so infatuated by it. It's such a different true crime-esque podcast. So this girl feels that her dad may be a serial killer, and this is like the first episode they go through how she feels like her dad's a serial killer. She actually helped them figure out that he did commit a murder, and this guy John Cameron, who is famous for taking her dad and pretty much turning her into the boogeyman and thinks that he's the Zodiac killer, thinks that he killed JonBenet Ramsey. And it's just like that his daughter, the serial killer's daughter, and this guy just trying to find proof and trying to discard like the mythology, like bullshit. It's so good to listen to. And it's not unsettling. Like it's not something where it's like super in depth in the murders as much as it's just like, hey, this is what happened. But it's more about like this guy. It's really good. It's really good. Everyone should listen to it.
Hell yeah. That sounds rad.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's
That's about as enthusiastic as Brian has ever gotten about a podcast. So, hey, I want to mention a little podcast I've been listening to lately. It's called Coup de la Podcast, starring our boy Brian Kelly and his boy Khalil. And it's, you know, when we first made you talk about it like a month or two ago on this show, you were like, it's impossible to promote and market Coup de la because it's like the Seinfeld of podcasts. It's about nothing, but it's still very funny. And if you like Brian on this show and you want to hear him actually talk more than 5 times in a 45 minute period, listen to Coup de la. So and it also has the most annoyingly catchy theme song. I just like, I'll be fucking picking weeds in the garden, I'll be like singing the theme song. I don't even know the words. I actually have to have you or Khalil tell me what the lyrics are. So besides the Coup de la.
It's so funny that no one knows the lyrics because it's Coup de la, Case Law, B. Kelly, Coup de la. And then
that's what I couldn't get because I didn't know Khalil's last name.
Yeah, so his name's Khalil Slaughter. Growing up, I'd call him Case Law. And then it was just, we so Coup de la, we so Coup de la, Case Law, B. Kelly, we Coup de la. That's it.
Oh, and also, if you want to know what the title of the podcast is about, you have to watch or listen to the first episode. It's explained right off the bat. So there you go.
Boom.
All right. Well, that was Pieces from 1982, as picked by our listener, Zach. Kyle, thank you for joining us. Go check out Survival of the Film Freaks. That's on Amazon and his Indiegogo campaign,
yes,
correct?
Yeah. If you just find us on Facebook, all the information's there. Survival of the Film Freaks. That's the easiest way to do it.
And their Insta.
Oh, yeah. We're on Instagram and Twitter @FilmFreaksMovie. We have We're going to be at Rock and Shock in Worcester, Massachusetts, October 11th through the 13th. I don't know when it's going to happen. And then Kansas City, I think we're going to have a screening with Slaughter Movie House, Slaughter Movie Night, which is what Jill Six runs in Kansas City. It's the first Monday in November. So we're going to, I think that's official, unless this is all false. This could be fake. I could just be wishful thinking. But yeah, we're still around.
You can cut that.
We can cut that. Cut that out, Matt. But thank you again, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. And next week we'll be talking about a movie that is easily the best one of the four that we watched this month. And Kyle has given us a heads up that it's great as well.
Yes.
So special thanks to him on that. Tune in next week for that. And we will be here where we always are. Coming soon on the feed pretty much throughout the next, not this week, but the following week. Keep your ears open for a bunch of interviews from Fantastic Fest, where I will be. If you're in the Austin area, swing by and say hello. Bye. All right. Bye.
Bye.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.